Lightning Thursday is brought to you by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best kept retirement secret.
Good morning, 7 minutes after 8 on a Thursday, a Lightning Thursday. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com in the studio with us for Lightning Thursdays. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Glad to be back in the actual studio.
Yes.
From the experimental virtual studio.
Which worked beautifully.
It worked well.
Thank you for Skyping in last week.
I do have a weather question for you.
Yes.
So then if it never cools down and it just remains hot in the fall, then later on into the fall, is it still Indian summer or is it just forever summer?
I think it just becomes forever summer. I think that's exactly
I think you were right in the program earlier. We'll have to change the name of our regular political news feature to Two Seasons Politics.
Exactly.
From Four Seasons
it's
Politics.
It's really starting to feel that way. But we got a change coming. We've got to change. Cooler weather.
Two more days, I guess, to survive this.
Today's the hottest.
I think today
will pretty much be the warmest.
Ooh, doggish. Okay.
So speaking of warm and speaking of hot, things are heating up on the restaurant scene. First, before we get to the restaurant scene, you've got an alert, a news alert from Laurel Park.
Yes, I do. So if you're in Laurel Park, I don't know if you would have noticed this from water pressure or anything like that, but did get an alert from my handy virtual emergency alerts that I get from Laurel Park Town Hall, and that is of an emergency water interruption due to a water main break, and that means that Laurel Park water customers, there's, 12 or so hundred of them, are under a boil water advisory. So be aware, and this, if you're able, go on back to laurelpark.org for further updates, and check HendersonvilleLightning.com for updates about that situation. Don't know the cause or the estimated repair and back to normal time on that, but boil your water, Laurel Park.
All right, which is a perfect segue into the restaurant scene here in Hendersonville and Henderson County. If you don't want to boil your water or you can't boil your water, then visit some of our great restaurants.
Yes, boiled water is hot, to strain the metaphor. To strain the metaphor further, and restaurants do involve a lot of water, one way or the other.
Yes, they do. So, Bill, give us the dish on dining in Henderson County.
Well, it's all in this case. This installment of our regular, sporadic but regular feature, the Dish on Dining, which updates what's going on the restaurant front here in Hendersonville, Henderson County, is focused really on two sandwich shops, well-known, one of them for quite some time, since 1996, Three Chop downtown on 3rd Avenue East, and a newer entrant into the ever-expanding, ever-competitive, and ever-quality, for that matter, restaurant scene, the Baker's Box down there on Busy Bend, kind of a little storefront place.
Yeah.
Let's go to Baker's Box first, as their change is really of a magnitude more dramatic, and that is to move across town. And remember that Iannucci's, the old courthouse spot on the much more higher traffic Asheville Highway? That's where Baker's Box is a-going, and pretty soon, too. Shooting for, what is this, the shooting for next month, shooting for November. Sometimes when you're doing that kind of change and move in, sometimes they don't quite make their target. But George and Mara Nicholas, both what is the name of that? There it is. Johnson and Wales College of Culinary Arts graduates, very quality gourmet pastry chefs and and cooks. The real thing.
They are the real deal. Yes.
Roast her own meat. She makes fantastic custom made wedding cakes and all kinds of pastries and cookies. Grab some of those big cookies if you go in there and sample some of their stuff. Sandwiches, wraps, salads, and so forth. That is moving, as I say, across town. It's expanding. It'll have nighttime hours. It'll have dine-in seating opportunities. I think it will have instead of waiting on tables, what a few restaurants, sort of the Moe's example, it cuts on labor, it can speed the delivery, not to have the waitresses yep. come out and bring your food. Well, they'll bring it to you, but you order at a counter.
And then sit down.
Assuming you get a number, they'll bring your food out. That's going to be that model.
And they'll have beer and wine also.
Beer and wine. Yeah. It does have a full bar. The place is equipped with a full bar. The owner of it told us that. No word on that. That's actually a lot more work, too, to add mixed drinks. So that's not in the picture at all. So look for that. Yeah, look for that to happen. One of the things they say is in terms of the menu expansion is things they're not doing now. Add some of George's greatest hits, including gyros, a bigger variety of salads, vegetarian selections. And, as you say, look for beer and wine, possibly some music out on. There's an outdoor patio space there. Most people might not know about by that little creek
yep.
That runs behind the old Iannucci's. And actually, the place, you know what it also has? It has a pizza oven. So there's lots of opportunities for these two really good cooks.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting. And speaking of expansion and beer and wine, Matthew Rogers there at Three Chopped. I don't think he's made the final decision on whether to add craft on tap, as we say, and some wine selections, but he's leaning strongly in favor of that because Matthew and his wife Rosie have expanded now until 8 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh.
And that's already happened.
Okay.
So 8 o'clock at night, open 7 days a week also.
Fantastic.
I didn't realize this. About 6 months ago, started, I think it's 11 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, Sunday hours. And he said that's turned out to be one of our strongest days.
I bet it has.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it has. Speaking of the Baker's Box, we want to remind everybody that they are still open right now at the Busy Bender Comedia.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They are still open, and they're hiring. They're doing some hiring right now. So
they are. Indeed, both. Yes, they are definitely hiring, and that's there. I've got the address here somewhere. Get your lightning or go to hendersonvillelightning.com. Look up the address. If you're driving out of town, you kind of come out of Busy Bend, look for them in that strip center on the left before you get to the railroad tracks.
All right. Fantastic. So that's the Dish on Dining as of right now, and some of the restaurant news and some restaurant changes. Let's get into some politics. Let's go into Two Seasons politics.
Yeah.
Mentioned just a little while ago. There's the municipal elections that are happening, and of course there's a very heavily contested race for council in Flat Rock right now, and you had an opportunity to do a story here about candidates being split on the road project because of something that happened this past week.
Yeah, interesting. And because no one was hurt, it's a little bit amusing too that we had this charter bus, and Flat Rock is kind of a big draw for tours and charter buses, whether because of the Playhouse or certainly Carl Sandburg, or just visiting the village of Flat Rock. And the charter bus could not make that right-hand turn from Greenville Highway onto Highland Lake Road and got stuck, as actually other long vehicles have gotten stuck in the past. In that, there's kind of a hole there, if you've ever noticed, that drops off, and there is no turning radius at all. And if this, you can see from the picture, and we had a couple more as well, even the way the trajectory of the bus at this point would have encroached way into the left center lane, which is one of the things the NCDOT and the Flat Rock Village Council, which voted in favor of this road improvement, has said is needed. And that is a wider turning radius at this road because of things like charter buses. There are some tractor trailers, not that many. They try to keep them off of Greenville Highway, NC 225 at that point. But there are some, and there's lots of painting truck, carpentry trucks with trailers and all that sort of thing. So,
one of the points made in the story also here is the Blue Ridge Fire Department has talked about them having issues with that.
Yeah, Chief Will Sheehan of the Blue Ridge Fire Department has said, look, that's a tough turn for fire trucks, too. And fire trucks generally need to get somewhere fast if they're on the road. And so this story, as we say, turned out to be an opportunity to shed light on what really is probably the central question, the central issue in the campaign for three seats on the Flat Rock Village Council. is Highland Lake Road improvement project needed or not? And you really got to pretty clearly established, and I think it's fair to say decided slates there. One that says, well, one of us voted for it and the other two are in favor of the Highland Lake Road improvement project. And this is the 1 mile project that doesn't really widen. It doesn't widen the travel lanes, but it makes for a 2 foot shoulder on one side, curb and gutter on the other, makes left turn lanes. We've talked a lot about it already. So those three candidates for the three districts on the ballot say yes. Let's go. Let's move ahead. And the other side says, in their own words on the sign, the road can be stopped, and it's their intention to try to stop it.
Yep.
So we get both sides. Ann Coletta, who's been a leader of the campaign for quite some time, going on more than two years, really, not to do the project, and is one of the candidates, and is a former village councilwoman, says, well, my response to them saying this shows a need for the improvement, she said the improvement might be needed, but there are other pots of money, other forms of NCDOT solutions that don't involve this big $3 million road widening project. The story goes on to, we won't belabor it here because you can read in more detail, another question is a fundamental question of is it true that a vote of the village council, possibly a split vote of the village council, or maybe a 7-2, I mean a 5-2 vote, say, on the village council, would that be enough by itself to outright kill the project? That's debated in this story, I'll just say. I'm not going to say my opinion about that. I think it's probably unknowable
right.
what the outcome would be. But there's an argument on the part of a couple council members who hope the project goes forward is that vote by itself doesn't. And that's true. It would take a vote of the MPO, French Broad MPO, which basically coordinates transportation projects in Western North Carolina, and a vote, actually, of the State Transportation Board to kill the project, but we've seen that happen before.
Okay.
Where they have killed a project based on local government's response.
Okay. That full story is in this week's Lightning, along with other stories, which we will touch on here in just a moment. You're listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Fletcher Park Inn, an independent Christian retirement community located on 450 beautiful acres across from Park Ridge Hospital, is the best-kept secret in Hendersonville for retirement living. Not a nursing home, Fletcher Park Inn residents enjoy independent living in spacious villas and apartments. Fletcher Park Inn offers everything you need to remain independent, alcohol and tobacco free. This Christian retirement community welcomes you to visit in person or online at FletcherParkInn.com and see what all the fuss is about. Fletcher Park Inn, now that's retirement living.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of Makita tools and your Makita authorized service repair center, with a complete line of Makita cordless outdoor power equipment, chainsaws, blowers, string trimmers, hedge trimmers, lawn mowers, and more. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 till noon, Lewis Williams & Sons. Online at lewiswilliams.com. Duraline Imaging, the local company that you can trust as your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business by giving them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301. Relationships matter, and trust must be earned. Trust Duraline Imaging, Upwood Road in Hendersonville.
Welcome to Wag Pet Boutique. Oh, hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi, Caroline. Guess what? I just adopted a dog from Blue Ridge Humane Society.
Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting. I'm so happy for you.
So, look, I need a leash and a dog bowl and a pet bed and some treats.
Well, hold on. Every dog is an individual, so let's just pick out a couple of things now, and as you get to know your new best friend, we'll help you pick out exactly what your dog needs.
That's great advice. I'm so glad I came to Wag first.
Well, we're always happy to see you, Brian. Tell your friends to come visit us at Wag Pet Boutique on Main Street in historic downtown Hendersonville.
And we're back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's stay on streets and roads here for just a moment. You had a story in the Lightning. It's also on your website about the roundabout on Greenville Highway, that opening being delayed a bit.
Yes, lots of interest in the roundabout.
Oh, sure.
Those of us that live down out in the sovereign republic of Flat Rock have been going around the detour for the roundabout for quite some time.
Yeah,
and it'll continue just a tad longer if they make this projected opening date, which, from what I hear, it's not at all a certainty by itself. Some homeowner in that area tipped off the light. He's been watching it and his neighbors have been watching it, and they say suddenly in some of this digging pretty deep for that great big culvert,
yeah,
they've discovered another unknown spring, and this person seemed to think that was going to affect how long the project was going to take. We weren't able to run that all the way down to the ground, so to speak, and prove it, but we did prove from the NCDOT spokesman David Uchimaya that the work by the Graham County Land Company, the contractor, is behind schedule and won't make the October 17 deadline. Remember, this started July 17.
Yeah. It
was supposed to end October 17. And the new projected opening date is October 22nd. Certainly, I'm not guaranteeing that, but that's what the North Carolina DOT now says about you'll be able to drive on through and around the roundabout.
Even that surprises me. I don't know much about road construction, but it was just a little couple of weeks ago. I just thought, well, let me drive down there and see what it looks like. And I drove down there, and it just didn't. It looked like it did back in July.
I was
just surprised. I'm sure there's a lot of work going on that you can't necessarily see, but.
Right. Well, we'll continue to bird dog that, as it were, and if it's delayed again, we'll try to let motorists know.
So let's staying on roads and staying on politics. There's a Meet the Candidates thing coming up with the League of Women Voters.
Yeah, one last note on that is that that's your opportunity, which is Monday, October 7th at the City Operations Center, 305 William Street, 6 to 7:30 at night. Not, unfortunately, a Q&A. I guess I couldn't manage to arrange all that, but a meet and greet intends to be whatever candidates show up, and it's usually a pretty large number, and that is the aforementioned Flat Rock Village Council. Well, you'll have should be six candidates there. Mayor-elect Nick Weedman could even show up. And then you've got five candidates, I think it is, for three seats on the Hendersonville City Council.
Yeah.
You've got Fletcher and you've got Mills River.
Yep. And hopefully they'll all be there when you have a chance to meet them.
It will be good for the voters if they are all there.
Fantastic. One of the stories we used just recently, I guess, from the Hendersonville Lightning is, this is really kind of cool, some old yearbooks have been digitized and put online.
Yeah, this is really a neat story, and we checked it out. It gave the scan. I'm not seeing it here on Hendersonville Lightning, but you can check it out on HendersonvilleLightning.com. You can go to the Digital Heritage Center, just Google that, at UNC Chapel Hill, and there's a part of it that says annuals, I think, maybe yearbooks, where you can it's a pretty good search engine within the site, that is to say. And I searched both Hendersonville and Ninth Avenue School and was able to pull up both of them. And this is a result of a partnership between our very good library, the Henderson County Library, Public Library, and this Digital Heritage Center, and our also very good research organization, the Genealogical Center. They all partnered to make this happen, to collect and ship a bunch of yearbooks down to Chapel Hill to be digitized. The only cost of it, Mark Burdett, another great figure in our library, great researcher, great archivist of the Baker Barber Collection.
Yeah.
He said he's pleased with the outcome of it, and we could not have made these books available to a wider audience without them in the Digital Heritage Center. And he said the only cost was to ship the yearbooks to Chapel Hill.
Hmm. Interesting. That's a cool story. And I'm assuming they're going to continue doing that with more.
Yeah, we don't have all the dates here, and we have calls into Mark to try to figure out exactly what. I don't know if I don't know. It goes. Here's what it says. It says they have Ninth Avenue annuals from 1950 to 1965, and HHS annuals from 1916. That's really interesting. Which is about the first year of the school, 1948 to 53, 1956 and 1957. 1947 and 1959 to 1963. So I wondered, well, what about the much more, you would think, available, more recent? I don't know if they felt like, I'm not sure the answer to that.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are already digitized somewhere, but we're going to follow that and look at the story in hendersonvillelightning.com for that answer.
Fantastic.
When we get it.
Okay. City receives grant to hire 12 firefighters.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
I mean, it's a big deal for a couple of reasons. It's a $1.25 million grant from something called the SAFER grants, which is Staffing for Adequate Fire and Emergency Response. City Council authorized this application back in the spring when they were talking about their budget, and talking about their budget is important because this will result in, if not a tax increase, it will certainly result in the city one way or another, either through some sort of spending cuts or a tax increase to pay 100% of the cost in starting in, I'm not remembering exactly.
Two years or so, right?
About year three, I think it is. The city's portion, the grant pays for 75% of the salary and benefits for the firefighters in the first and second year, and then drops to 35% in year three. And I think it's in year four that entire cost is on will be on the city. And that's quite a bit of money because, as I recall, in the city, I think one penny on the tax rate raises something like $160,000. So not that I don't think they're planning on a 10-cent tax increase, but they know about this. They know they got it coming. This is a whole company, these 12 firefighters and another battalion chief that the fire chief says we need. And then probably the other shoe dropping at some point in the not-too-distant future is the talk and more serious discussion of a Fire Station 3 somewhere in southeast Hendersonville, probably on or somewhere closely around Spartanburg Highway.
Okay. Ask Matt is back in the Lightning this week, a very popular feature always.
Yes, he is, with a really good one this week.
Yeah.
All about people wonder, you know, they watch the shows like Forensic Files and one of these other DNA shows, CSI, those sorts of shows that I don't watch. and they say, well, reckon Henderson County has such a forensic file operation going on. Well, it turns out they do. And Matt's answering the question about what do we do? Do we have cold cases? And do we have a DNA kind of evidence operation? And Ask Matt introduces us to Jim McClellan, who supervises the Sheriff's Office forensic lab. They do have their own. It can't do everything. A lot of it they have to send off. And you remember when they finally opened the Western North Carolina crime lab right down in Edneyville.
Yeah.
So that's helped matters a lot. So they will send some things down to the crime lab, and he explains how all that works for our cold cases.
Fantastic. Again, that's in this week's Lightning, along with a lot of other stories. And one thing we want to touch on before we finish Lightning Thursday today, Bill, is the community meeting tonight at Hendersonville High School.
That is a great availability for folks that are wondering. Everything they're going to talk about, everything that we know at this snapshot in time, which is quite a bit, about the Hendersonville High School renovation, about the construction, about the timeline, about the traffic flow, about the swing space, about the fencing, about the safety, about the noise, and about the dust. Everything that people have questions about or are expressing concerns about, Bobby Wilkins and Dr. John Bryant, the Associate Superintendent of Henderson County Schools, both of whom know this project inside and out as much as it can be known, will be on stage there at the HHS Auditorium. So going to that Earl Stilwell-designed, iconic public space and listen to that presentation. Bobby promises it probably won't last 45 minutes or so, at least as far as what presentation he plans and Dr. Bryant plans. But they promise that parents have concerns, folks have concerns, community has concerns. They'll do their best. People want to come up and talk to them about it, ask them about it. They'll do their best to answer all their questions.
That's tonight at 7 o'clock at the Hendersonville High School Auditorium. All right, Bill, there's plenty more in the Hendersonville Lightning, so please be sure to pick up your copy. Bill, how do people pick up their copy of the Hendersonville Lightning?
By traveling all over Henderson County. I guess you'll still have to cut your air conditioning on.
Yes.
And this extended two-season, city of two-seasons weather. Anyway, you'll travel to any of the 60 Lightning Orange racks all around the county and buy one for $1, or better yet, go to HendersonvilleLightning.com and click on that red tab and join the growing legions of Hendersonville Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday via the United States Postal Service, or call Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, come see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This and other episodes of Lightning Thursday are available via podcast at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday. Lightning Thursday is brought to you weekly by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.